Would please, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Some of these things I've certainly shared before, but I was looking at and thinking about some things this morning, and you know, at times people have a bit of difficulty in understanding the importance and the weight that many of us put on God's Word. I have, over the years, encountered some difficulty in understanding, even on the part of other Christians, why so much weight, why so much importance is placed on God's Word and on what the Word says. The world has names for that. They have names for the little pigeonholes that they want to put us in or put people in, really of all types. But those of us who really are concerned about the accuracy of God's Word, the integrity of God's Word, saying what the Word says, they got names for us. And so does God. So does God. God's names for us are things like faithful, righteous, sons, right? And that's really what we should be concerned with, not with what the world says. You know, there's a verse in Psalm 138, you guys know it. And part of that verse says, "Thou hast magnified thy word above what? All thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." You know what that means? It's all that his name represents. God. Right? You know, they have university courses on trees. Do you understand that? University courses on trees, on bugs. Who created that stuff? Right. And he's magnified his word above what? All his name. See, and all that his name represents. That's where God places his word. Where should we place it? Where should we place the importance of God's word? And what it says? See? It's huge. It's really huge. So it never, ever, 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 ever does it bother me when somebody thinks I'm being constricted or restrictive or whatever when it comes to the Word of God. It's like water on a duck. I don't even think about it. I feel sorry for that individual. See? Because the only way we're going to get to manifesting what God wants us to manifest is by believing correctly. Right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking perfection here, but boy, just placing the importance on God's Word and not being loose with it. So we're going to look at some places in the Word regarding God's Word. And I wanted to start in Matthew. Here's a record you guys know. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And this is the record of Jesus Christ being tempted in the wilderness. Verse 3, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Isn't that beautiful? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus Christ said. That's what Jesus Christ said. Do you think he knew what he was talking about? Yeah. See, he placed the importance that should be placed on the words of God. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I want you to go to Luke, Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at a couple in the Gospels here. Luke chapter 8. This is typically referred to as the Bible, which means the book. Some refer to it as the Holy Bible. We're going to look at some different places in God's Word, what God's Word calls His Word. One of my favorites is, and it's used many times, it's called the Word. Isn't that beautiful? It's the Word. It's just simply the Word. They preached the Word. Jesus Christ told his 12, preach the Word. And it's and the article's there, and it's the Word as opposed to all other words. Isn't that cool? Sets it apart from all other words. It's the Word. Another thing that we're going to look at, and I believe it's used here, is called the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Which is kind of neat because it takes care of the what and the who. Right? What is it? It's the Word. Whose Word? God's Word. It's the Word of God. Here in Luke chapter 8. Now the parable is this. He's explaining a parable that he had shared with these men. And it's the parable of the sower. Sower went out to sow and he sowed seed. And he's explaining what it meant because it fell on different types of ground. Luke 8, we're going to start in, verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what? And be saved. You know, we're going to see in a few minutes it's also called the word of salvation, word of deliverance. Lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with what? With joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, before I finish reading this, I think most of you understand, this is not, it's not like you are predetermined ground. Okay? Don't fall into that. You know, we're somehow, we're predetermined ground. Who makes the decision? You do. You decide what kind of ground you are. Isn't that something? Now some people, they hear the word, it's like, wow, this is it. And boy, pretty quickly, I've seen that. Have you seen that? I've seen that. Pretty quickly, it's like, boom, taken from them. But it's not because they were predetermined ground or a rock. You have rocks in their head, but anyway. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know, We were not made. We were not created to incorporate God into our lives. We were created to bring glory to God. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And in that attempt to try and incorporate God into your life, you're going to get caught up in things, in the cares and different things that come up in life. What it is we have new life and we bring glory to God. Isn't that something? That's how we want to live. See? Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with what?
Patience.
With patience. Isn't that beautiful? They bring forth. That's the word of God. See? Now I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. Everybody knows this verse. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the what? The word of truth. The word of truth. That's something else God calls his word. It's the word of truth. You know why he calls it the word of truth? Because it's the truth. It's pretty simple. So it's the word of truth. Jesus Christ basically summed his ministry, his earthly ministry, up with the words, I have given them thy word. Thy word is truth. In John 8, Jesus Christ said, it's the truth that sets a man free. That's what will truly set a man free. You know, men toss around that word freedom and what it takes to achieve freedom, what it means to be free. But a man's not truly free until he's free in his heart of his old nature. And that only comes from the Word of God. Isn't that something? The Word of truth. And I want you to turn to 13. That phrase, Word of Truth, is, you know what? Stop in Ephesians chapter 1 on your way. Let's read this. We're on our way to Acts, but we're going to stop at Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, in whom you also trusted, referring to Christ, after that you heard the word of truth. That's something. The gospel, or the good news of your deliverance, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that beautiful? You were sealed up with that Holy Spirit of promise. You have God's seal on you. And that Holy Spirit is a token of what is going to be ultimately received at the return of Jesus Christ. And that is all a result of believing the word of truth. The word of truth, which makes known Christ. Okay, let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 13. It's another thing God calls his word. Yeah. In verse 26, we're not going to read the whole thing here, but it's sort of in the middle of a teaching here. But verse 26 says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And that's a... It's that word of this deliverance or this salvation. And this is the context here. It's that deliverance or salvation that comes from believing on Jesus Christ. Because it's the word of deliverance that makes known Jesus Christ. It's kind of simple, isn't it? Let's go to Acts chapter 14. Flip a page. This is great. Verse 3. This is in Iconium. And in verse 3 it says, "Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." This is also used in Acts chapter 20, where the word of God is referred to as the word of grace, or the word of his grace. And it's called that because it's what makes known grace. It's what makes known the grace of God and the grace of Jesus Christ. It's the word of grace. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This is great. Verse 8. You guys know this section. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, or the word of believing, which we preach. The word of believing. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture, something else is called, saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 17. So then believing, and it should read the believing, comes by what? And hearing by the word of God. The reason why the word of God is called the word of believing is because it makes known what it is we are to believe. What we are to believe is to line up with what God's word says. And that is huge. What I just said is huge. Correct or right doctrine is critical to our walks. And we get that from where? From God's word. We get it from God's word. That's why we give God's word the place that we do. That's why. It's above feelings. It's above experiences. It's above all of it. Because it's that which God has magnified above all his name. See? So we approach that word with reverence. We approach it with great respect. And that's how we handle it. Because it's God's word. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is wonderful. In verse 19, it says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the what?" Isn't that something? The word of reconciliation. It's that word regarding Christ that reconciles men back to God. That's what reconciles men back to God. It's the word of reconciliation. You know, when you speak the word to somebody, how often have you gotten to where, you know, God is love. He just loves you. And they're carrying a lot of baggage. And what you do by speaking God's word to them is you don't impute their trespasses unto them. They're doing a good job at that themselves. Right? But you speak truth to them regarding Christ. See? And in so doing, they can begin to let go of some of that baggage so that they can be reconciled to the true God. See? That's what we do. It's the word of reconciliation. Let's go to Hebrews. I tell you what, don't go to Hebrews. Go to Colossians chapter 3. In Hebrews, it's referred to as the word of his power. This is kind of a neat one. Colossians chapter 3. And you know, back to it being the word of believing. It's God's word that gives us what it is we're to believe, but it's believing that activates God's word in a person's life. Isn't that something? It talks in Hebrews chapter 4. Is it 4 or... Yeah, I think it's 4. Where the word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with what?
Believing.
It wasn't mixed with believing. Isn't that something? See? It wasn't mixed with believing. It's not just the Holy Bible that you write family names in. It's the Word of God. And that's why we give it the place we give it. That's why we spend the time in it that we spend. That's why we put the work into it. Because it's God's Word. What did I say? Colossians? Colossians chapter 3. This is awesome. Verse 16. Let the word, and the word of, it would be better understood in English as regarding. It's the word regarding Christ dwell in you, and then it should read, with all wisdom. See? That word regarding Christ, isn't that something? It is the word regarding Christ. And that is what is to dwell in you. That word regarding twice, Christ. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, and it should read, to God. So it's that word regarding Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2, right before Colossians. And then we'll close in Hebrews. Philippians chapter 2. Yeah. It's hard to pick a place to start in this chapter. But we're going to start in verse 13. Philippians 2, it says, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And that is by virtue of Spirit. That nature that you receive when you call on the name of Jesus Christ, when you believed on him. There's no condition here. It's not a condition. You know? For it is God that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you... doesn't say that. It's God that works in you. Because you have that life in you. You're born again. Do all things without grumbling and disputings, murmurings, disputings, that you may be blameless, harmless, sons of God without rebuke or blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse age, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding the word of life. Holding the word of what? It's the word of life. That's something. It's the word of life. It is God's word of life that makes known the life that Jesus Christ came to bring, which is spirit. Without the knowledge of that, you don't know about Jesus Christ and you remain dead for the rest of your days. Isn't that something? The word of life. It makes known life. It makes known the life that Jesus Christ came to bring. It makes known that life that God has called us to. It also gives us some glimpses in the life that we have to look forward to after the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty cool, isn't it? And let's close in Hebrews. Hebrews 4. But that's why we give the place... we give the word the place we give it. It's not a game. It's not a religious book. It's a book of life.
Verse 12. It says, for the word of God is the word. You know what? Let me read this in the Working Translation. I brought it up for this purpose. The word quick is living. But the Working Translation is just lovely. Hebrews chapter 12. Or I'm sorry, 4. 4:12. Okay. I'm getting there. There we go. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Certainly, the word of God is living. It's a living word. And powerfully active. And sharper than any double-edged sword. Even penetrating to the dividing between soul and spirit, and also between joints and marrow, and is able to judge, it's the critic, it's the Greek word kritikos, is able to judge between the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Isn't that something? It's God's word is the judge. God's word is the critic or the judge, and it will show what comes from soul as opposed to that which comes from spirit. See? It's the word of God that's the judge. There is no other judge. The word of God's a judge. My feelings are not the judge. The word of God's the judge. Isn't that something? What I've been taught previously is not the judge. What's the judge? God's word's a judge. What everybody else thinks is not the judge. What's the judge? God's word is judge. So let's have some guts. Let's just have some guts with it. Regardless of what everybody else thinks, what's the word say? Regardless of what everybody says, what's the word say? That's where we want to be. And we do it with great love. But we do it with great reverence and respect for God's word. That's our Father's word. We don't mess around with it. Right? That's why we give it the place it has in our hearts. You know, there's a scripture in Peter where it talks about a more sure word of prophecy. It's another thing the word is called. That more sure word of prophecy. And taking heed unto it in your hearts as you would a light in a very dim, dark, you know, as you would at night. You take heed in your hearts until the day dawn and the day star arise, you know, until dawn. Isn't that something? The word of God is light, and that's how we take heed unto it. Okay? So, all right. Amen. Yeah.